I'm Cassidy with SearchEnterpriseAI.com, and I'll be speaking with Julia Knaus, CEO of the Illinois Technology Association, and Chris Hammond, co-chair of the ITA's new AI Council and faculty member and director of Northwestern University's Master of Science in Artificial Intelligence. Today, I'll be asking these experts questions about how to best utilize contemporary AI and ML while avoiding vendor hype, and what to expect in the future of the industry.
Let's talk about sort of the mainstreaming of AI. How would you define a successful universal implementation? How would you go about defining that?
Well, let's talk about AI in the enterprise for a moment. I think the thing that, you know, the features that are going to be the most indicative of success are the features having to do with the business. One of the mistakes I see people make with new technologies is they think about the technology as opposed to thinking about the problems they're trying to solve. And so what you do is you have people bringing in like machine learning to attack a problem that really isn't a machine learning problem or doesn't require machine learning, or using predictive analytics where there's not enough data available. And so the predictions are bad, but they're still there. And I think that one of the things that I push on in terms of talking to businesses is the notion of let the task, let the business problem be the driver. That this is not a question. When you're looking at technology, you have to ask yourself, what's the functionality? What can it do for me? And then given what it could do for me, really, what problems am I trying to solve? Because the worst you can do is spend a ton of time bringing technologies in that are inappropriate. And so if you have the right data, and if you have the right data around your sales figures and the features associated with those sales, then sure, build a predictive analytics engine around those sales. If you're looking at situations where you're trying to evaluate a customer as to whether or not that customer is qualified, and you have the right data, then sure, use AI and historical and statistical methods to do so. But don't bring in AI or machine learning or any of these technologies unless you have a clear idea about where you're going. Because I can, you know, I've seen company after company spend, you know, 6 months and six people pushing on something where they don't know what the output's going to be. They don't know what the end is going to be. And they don't know what the business goals are.
I think companies are facing sort of a barrage of vendors and promoters who are all trying to offer them a solution to a problem they may or may not have. And if that's an issue in AI or in protecting the longevity of AI, how would you advise them to get around that?
What is the actual problem you're trying to solve? And then I feel like there's two paths that your AI strategy can take. One is creating intelligent products and services. So going down that path, and is there something you're putting out to market that can be better, smarter using AI technologies? And is there a market need for it? I always use a good example. I think it fairly well flopped, but Hello Barbie. And it was a Barbie doll that listened. It took the input, sent it back out, analyzed and came back, and Barbie would have this conversation with you in it. And it turned out the parents were not ready for that level of what it was doing. So it wasn't, you know, just pre-designed type responses like a lot of kids' toys are. It was actually analyzing and coming back with a full kind of conversation. And it ended up being the market wasn't really there for that, you know, on a very kind of fundamental level. So I think there's the front end of that, is creating the products and services and not doing them to your question of what is sexy and what is new and what gets you out there, but what is the actual market need for that? And is there their desire for that in your products and services? And then the second way is in driving AI success, I think, is looking at designing business processes. So how can you make your business more efficient and effective? You know, I think there's a lot there that you can do before you even decide which technologies to invest in and which kinds of algorithms to use that you have to do on the front end to figure out where you may be able to make the best impact. And that's kind of more of a business analyst type opportunity, I think, in the beginning.
What technologies that we're seeing now have sort of a promised longevity?
Right now, there are a couple of trends which I think are really good, and they're gonna. It's one of them is gonna sound dumb, but it's really good, and that is the rise of RPAs, robotic process automation. And the idea behind RPAs is it's an old school idea. It's like we're gonna build scripts that are gonna move data around for you. But the tools for doing so, often they just observe what you're doing, then you can edit what they, you know, what they think you're supposed to do. So it could be that every morning there are people who get spreadsheets emailed to them. They download those spreadsheets. They might make a couple of changes. They log on to another system. They upload those spreadsheets. They name them and they let them go. It's a horrible thing to do, but there are a lot of people in the workforce today in the sort of the information space do that kind of work. Now, the RPAs themselves are not all that deep or interesting. Some of them allow you to make decisions. But what's really interesting to me is that once you start doing that, then you start having control over your data. And once you have control over your data, then you start seeing those places where you might do more interesting things. And so it could be that you download or redirect complaints about products. But it'd be great if you could actually have, once you've got that in place, you could say, well, you know, what I should do is if somebody's really angry, I should have it, we should direct it to someplace else. And so you know, you've got the data, you've got the flow, and you know where to put in some sentiment analysis. Or I care about shunting comments about a new product in one direction as opposed to, you know, along the normal path. So you do entity extraction, and you identify that, and you shunt things in the right direction. It's essentially a set of mechanisms that under the sort of the guise of these scripts that allow people to control their data more. And once you have control of your data more, then you know where the decisions are going to be, and you can start bringing in deeper and deeper pieces of AI. And that I actually find really exciting, because we've got a whole bunch of tools and less of an idea about how to bring them together to build systems, and RPAs give us a platform for doing so. The other component is, right now, I think, is conversation, either at the chat level or at the voice level, because we got really excited about Siri and Alexa, and we decided we wanted conversation. So we're seeing some tools show up. I don't think they're quite there yet, but I think what we're seeing is, again, simple versions of tools that allow people to have easy conversations against existing data or existing simple tasks. And I see a lot of enterprises grabbing onto those technologies and making use of them. I think that they're still very simple, but they are becoming the stalking horse for realizing that we need more complexity in terms of language understanding, language generation, decision making, which has not been at the core of the sort of the statistical approaches to AI. So for me, those two are growing, and they are they're sustainable because, in fact, they take a lot of the weight off of people's shoulders that they don't want on their shoulders. Answering a question 1,000 times that's being asked the same way by different people, and having the machine take care of that, so you can see what the more interesting questions, or moving data around and then finding entry points for playing with that data in more interesting ways.
Great. So to finish off, I just would like to ask one big picture question and have the both of you answer. If you're looking ahead at the next 1 to 2 years in a very, very short period of time, what are some big picture investments or trends or focuses that you will be discussing heavily and watching?
Some of what, you know, I think in the next couple of years we may see is a little bit more opportunity to use some of these technologies for good. So I think there will be a little bit more of a focus, not only by the public sector, but I think by companies who know they need to make a stronger impact on their community, looking to invest back in that and understanding how the technologies they're developing internally or they're developing for market could also be applied to the communities in which they live. I think you're starting to see companies respond in that way with some of what they're doing with Microsoft's investment in homelessness in Seattle. You know, that was to solve a certain, that kind of problem, but can they start to use technology, not just money, to help solve, you know, some of these problems? And that's somewhere that I think we're going to start to see kind of a shift and a little bit of a focus. I think for a few reasons. One, just you can't, as a company, you can't outperform your community or your company won't sustain anymore either. But also, I think that there's going to be a need to educate people about these technologies as you're building your talent pipeline. You know, we're going to need more and more people entering these workforces with this talent, and there's such a great opportunity to make an impact and share these technologies with communities, maybe underserved communities, whatever that looks like, where they get more comfortable with what the technology is and start to see career paths and opportunities in these spaces as well.
I absolutely agree with it. The phrase technology for the public good, I think is something that will be genuinely meaningful over the next few years, because when we are looking at forming relationships between, for example, universities and the private sector, we can't really just form relationships around students going off and being interns to do. To work on, specific business problems, time and time again. But having partnerships between business and the public sector that are aimed at pulling the technologies out, demonstrating to people the utility of the technologies while actually doing something with them for the community, I think would be fantastic. And it can range from a lot of different, across a lot of different things, from doing analytics to understand what's going on with traffic or public safety, to actually building out real systems having to do with the disabled, and using the whole suite of what is defined within AI to do things that are public, are real, and are impactful, not just on one company's bottom line, but impactful in terms of how we can understand how intelligence can move into practice and actually help us on a day-to-day basis.
That was Chris Hammond and Julia Knaus from the Illinois Technology Association speaking to SearchEnterpriseAI.com. Make sure to visit us on the web or social media for more enterprise AI discussions, features, graphics, and video.